Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching titled, How to Fulfill God's Will, was recorded at our 2010 Chicago Gospel Truth Seminar. And now, here's Andrew.
The Bible says in, I believe it's John 5:44, but Jesus was talking to people who were criticizing him, and he says, how can you believe which receive honor one from another and seek not the honor that comes from God alone? Jesus is saying it's impossible to really believe if you're a man pleaser. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 25 says, the fear of man brings a snare. And the truth is that most of us are so codependent upon people because you can see them. We can't see God, and it takes faith to recognize God. Most of us are more carnal than we are spiritual, and because people can reject us and ridicule us and say things, most of us will esteem, value, glorify other people's opinion more than we do God. And the moment you start doing that, what God has spoken to you, you have quit glorifying it, and that is the first step to numbing yourself to the things of God. That's the first step to diminish the impact of God in your life, is to start worrying about what other people have to say. Man, now that is powerful. And this is one thing that keeps people from fulfilling God's will. There are people that God reveals himself to. They start following him. But I can guarantee you, if you live godly, you're going to suffer persecution. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12 says, all those who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. If nobody's persecuted you, it's because you aren't godly. Was that too subtle? Anybody miss that? If you never bump into the devil, it's because you and the devil are both heading in the same direction. If you turn around and start going against the flow, you're going to meet resistance. You will have persecution. People will come out against you. And if you are more concerned about being approved by people than you are by God, then you're going to quit glorifying God. You will diminish the worth and the value that you place on God. And the moment you do that, your heart starts getting hard and insensitive, and you start losing the joy. Again, I know that some of you have been touched. I've had some people come up to me this week, and man, you are just fired up. God has healed you. You're excited. But then you go back into the world, and there's going to be people come out against you. And the whole thing is to try and get you to quit glorifying and putting the same worth and value. It's easy here because we're all here and we're seeking the Lord and we're singing about the Lord. And you're among fellow believers that have similar values. And so you sing and shout and dance. But do you do this at work? Will you do it if somebody didn't understand? Will you stand up and say, oh yeah, I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit and I speak in tongues? If other people don't value that, you know, most Christians would cave in because you are really into glorifying other people's opinion. I had a man that was a friend of mine, and we were hiking up Pikes Peak, and we had a mutual friend who, I say friend, he was a friend. He loved us in one sense, but on the other hand, he just criticized us all the time. And he criticized both of us. And he said some really hurtful things about us, but when we were around him, he was just sweet and everything was fine. And so anyway, we had had this discussion before and talked about this. And anyway, he was really bothered by it. And so as we were hiking up Pikes Peak, he started telling me the latest thing that this pastor had said about us and how he had been dishing on us and things. And he started telling me all this. And I said, look, I just don't want to hear it. I said, we've talked about this before. I know that this guy doesn't like you and me, and he says things about us. I said, I just don't care to hear it. So he stopped for a second, and then he started to say something. I said, I don't want to talk about it. So he stopped, and then he finally looked at me, and he says, why doesn't what he say about you bother you the way it bothers me? And I said, because I don't value his opinion the way you do. That's a great truth right there. The only people that will ever let you down are the ones that you lean on. If you would get to where you value God, and it's not that you want to offend people or you don't care about them, but you don't have to have people stroke you and pat you on the back to feel good about yourself. You are basking in the fact that your Heavenly Father loves you. And if you could ever get to that place, you know what, where you live, that you glorify God and what He says is important. And if other people criticize you, you don't like it, but it's not going to bother you. It's not going to keep you up at night. You just don't esteem it the way you do the things of God. That is one of the greatest things you can do to keep on track and to fulfill your destiny. Because I guarantee you, before you can fulfill these other things that are listed in Romans 1:21, you've got to, first of all, quit glorifying God, valuing, esteeming, prizing what He has said in your life. You know, my own personal testimony is that I got born again when I was 8 years old. But when I was 18, I had an encounter with God where He revealed Himself to me, and I knew that I knew that I knew that God loved me. I could spend hours talking about that, but it just transformed my life. I encountered God on a Saturday night, March the 23rd, 1968, and my life was instantly changed. And on Sunday morning, I got up in front of my church, and I began to start telling them. I said, I don't know what happened, but I encountered God. I said, God changed my life. I'll never be the same. And you know, I didn't even understand things, but I knew. I said, I'll never, ever, ever, ever rededicate my life again. Some people thought, well, that's terrible. Because, you know, before that time, if I'd have had a rededicator, I'd have broken mine. I'd have worn it out. We'd have a revival service, and they'd give an invitation, and I'd go down every night and rededicate my life. I was constantly realizing that I was missing something and that there was more. And I rededicated myself every time they gave an invitation. But man, I gave everything I had to God, and I knew that there wasn't anything left to give. And I'd never have to rededicate. Now, does that mean that I've never made a mistake and that I've always done things holy? No, but I guarantee you, I have never intentionally walked away from this. I gave God everything I had. And I'm human. There's a part of me that wasn't born again and redeemed, my flesh, and I still make mistakes, but I guarantee you, it has been my passion since I was 18 years old to live for God with everything I've got, and I have never backed off of it. So I told the people, I said, I'll never have to rededicate myself. I said, I was filled with the Spirit. I didn't know what else to call it. I'd never heard the term filled with the Spirit except reading it in the Bible. I'd never heard about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but it was the best way I could describe it. I was filled with something besides me. Amen. It was the Holy Spirit. And I stood up and told them, I'm filled with the Spirit. I didn't mean anything bad by it. I just was trying to describe what had happened. Boy, they jumped on me like a chicken on a June bug. I had the pastor tell me, who do you think you are? The Apostle Paul was filled with the Spirit. Peter was filled with the Spirit. Are you saying you're like an apostle? Are you somebody special? Are you better than the rest of us? I didn't mean anything by it. I was just trying to tell him what happened. But you know, here I was. I was glorifying God and saying, God's awesome. God has touched my life. I'll never be the same. I'm filled with the Spirit. And immediately here come an authority figure trying to get me to value his opinion. And to say, but who are you? I've been to seminary. I know about all of these things. And you should value my opinion. How dare you say that? See, it was trying to get me to glorify and to magnify and value his opinion, because who was I? I was an 18-year-old kid. But you know, by the grace of God, I don't understand. I just was so excited. I had encountered God. And I didn't understand it with my head, but I knew that I knew that I knew that God had touched me, and I wasn't going to back off of it. And I remember looking at the pastor and I said, whoa, you've taken an offense where none's intended. I don't know what's going on, but I'm telling you, I'm filled with the Spirit. I just kept glorifying God. I kept what God said about me up there. And because of that, everybody else's opinion was relatively low. Within a very short period of time, I had people start telling me that I was of the devil, and God told me to quit school and other things. And because I quit school, I had people that started fighting against me and telling me that this is of the devil. God would never tell you to do any of those things. And when the Lord spoke to me about quitting school, my mother thought that I had lost my mind, because at that time I was getting $350 a month from the government if I stayed in school. I had Social Security payments coming from my father's death, and I was being paid to stay in school. I had a deferment from the draft if I stayed in school. And just on and on, my family thought that school was everything. I'm the first person in generations that didn't graduate from college. And when I said that God told me to quit school because I was just committed to following Him with my whole heart, man, I had people tell me, this is of the devil, and you're of the devil. And they were people, I was just brand new in the Lord. And here they were, spiritual people, people that had been my mentors before this, the youth leader of the church, the pastor of the church, friends, relatives, everybody told me I was of the devil and that I was missing God. And you know what all of this was? It was an attempt for me to say, am I going to value what I feel in my heart and what God has said to me, or am I going to value what other people say? If I would have started valuing their opinion and started doubting what I felt in my heart, then I would have quit glorifying God, and that would have been the first step to me losing the fullness and the joy and the victory that I had through that experience with the Lord. But by the grace of God, I just kept saying, I didn't understand much, but I just knew that I knew that I knew that I had encountered God. And I just remember it was like water off a duck's back. I said, I don't know what your problem is, but I know that God has spoken to me. And it's a long, long story. I won't go into all of it. But one example is that after I had quit school, I got reclassified and sent for my draft physical. And I passed my physical. And so they reclassified me 1A. And I had a recruiter come to my house. You got to remember, I was 18 years old. Here comes a 30-something year old man dressed in a military uniform to my house, an authority figure. And he comes and he sits down at my table.
That's all the time we have for today. But be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach through his brand new series titled How to Fulfill God's Will. This 5-part series was recorded at our 2010 Chicago Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series R1068C for CD or R3212D when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The third CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request RU19 titled, What About Your Values? When you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111, and our web address is awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
I'd like to invite you to call our helpline. The number is 719-635-1111. And not only can you order product that we have offered over radio and over television through this helpline, but there are people there that can minister to you. And we have some really mature Christians. I get compliments on the people that answer our phones constantly. And they are not here just to take an order. They are there to be a blessing to you. So once again, that number is 719-635-1111. We operate from 4 a.m. until 10 o'clock p.m. every weekday. And you can not only get the materials, but you can also receive prayer, and we want to help you any way we can.